This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Jill Lepore has been writing for The New Yorker for a decade. She's also a professor of history at Harvard, and she's brought that scholar's mind to everything from the Constitution to Wonder Woman. This summer, she turned her attention to a much more personal project, trying to find the biological father of her best friend since high school, a woman named Adriana. This is the first part of a three-part story, and it starts when they were just kids.
My name is Adriana Alti, and when I was 8 years old, the thing that I wanted most of all for my 8th birthday was a tape recorder. And this was because I was given to putting on little shows or making up little songs and that type of thing. So I get the tape recorder, and I was horrified. Do I sound like, I sound like a black person? And I said, to my mother, well, that sounds like a black person. She said, well, what do you mean? Like, people have voices and voices are the same, people are the same. And I was like, okay, that is not, you're just not going to get, good information. Maybe they don't want to hurt your feelings, they don't know. You better need to find these things out on your own because people are not going to tell you the truth.
My name's Jill Lepore, and I write for The New Yorker, and I teach history at Harvard. I'm a historian, and I want to tell a story about origins. And this is a story of the origins of my friendship with my friend Adriana Alti. And it's also a story about race, and it's a story about sound.
The town I grew up in was a very small town in New England, and it was very white. It was white, white, white. And to tell you how white it is, there is a statue of a lamb, a white lamb, in the town common, and that is because Mary Sawyer Had a Little Lamb is from that town.
Mary Had a Little Lamb whose fleece was white as snow.
There weren't really any people like me there. First day of kindergarten, got off the bus, and you went, marched up, and they asked your name, and then you either were in that class or the other class. And I told them, my name. I later was to find out that, they called my mother and said, Mrs. Alti, did you send the foster child that you have to school today? And she said, yes, blah, blah. And that's how I learned that that was not my last name. Because they had my last name and what it really was on the list, which I didn't know. And then I went home and they told me, well, actually, this is your actual name, but don't worry because it's going to change when you get adopted. And I was like, it was the first I'd heard of it. That was in September, and then I was adopted in December.
When she was 5 and went to kindergarten, there was a photograph of her in the newspaper because there's this picture of, so this would have been 1971, a bunch of little white kids getting on a bus, and then this little black girl who's like more than a foot taller than everybody else. And it was kind of like a Ruby Bridges photograph or something. That was really hard, and it was absent being part of a black family that was part of a political movement that was integrating schools, this was this tiny little girl carrying on her shoulders a history of racial segregation.
My family, they're great. They're very kind people. They love me very much. And they just thought, well, we'll just love this child, and that's all. That's all I need to do. They didn't want me to feel bad, so they would tell me things like, you're just the same. You're just the same as everyone else. I know what they meant by that. And, as in hindsight, I'm like, well, okay, I understand what they're trying to say. But I'm like, but I am different, though. And they're like, no, you're not. And I said, but I look different. And they're like, well, you're just the same. You're just the same. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're what color you are. You could be orange. You could be blue. You could be white. And I'm like, well, I'm not orange or blue. I'm this other color. And I remember being in a play, and I was like a snowman in the play. This boy said something like, you can't be a snowman, because snow is not brown. And I said, snow can be brown. Haven't you seen it when it's like dirty or, like this and that? I really just thought, well, he's just stupid. How does he not know that snow can be, I didn't know he was insulting me.
I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. He think he will, but I know he won't. They tell me George.
The first person I saw who was the same color as I was that I thought looked really nice, I liked the looks of, was Muhammad Ali. He's so handsome and so, I don't know. He was, great. He said he was the greatest. And he was, people were talking about him. He was going to be the heavyweight champion and all these, things. And I thought, oh, this is this is all right. Might be all right. This whole brown thing might not be so bad, So at some point I heard my mother say, he has a big mouth, that guy. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And she's like, well, I don't like him. I just was kind of like, well, this is like a bad deal. I felt very badly. I didn't want to be, brown. I just didn't.
The black man has been brainwashed, and it's time for him to learn something about himself. When he look at television, he see white owl cigars, white swan soap, king white soap.
I remember having heard someone say one time that he had said something about Mary had a little lamb or something like that.
And he's a little boy that Mary had a little lamb, his feet as white as snow.
But he says it in the context of, talking about the brainwashing that goes on. And I just thought that was funny that one of the things he talks about is Mary had a little lamb, and that, that's the town I was from.
Even though we grew up in the same place, we had really different childhoods. I lived in the town one town over from Adriana's town, and then I moved into her town when I was a freshman in high school.
I actually didn't know at first that she did live in Sterling because I had never seen her before. So, and she's like, oh, you just moved to Sterling. So I was like, oh, okay.
And I immediately liked her. We had French class together, and we kind of propped each other up through what was a really difficult year.
So I liked Jill. I just thought, this is, she's neat. I like her. And also, she seemed to really like me.
When we were graduating from college, we were both 22, her father died. And at his funeral, her biological mother showed up.
She's white, and she had two small children who were, my color. And I was with a college friend of mine, Ed, and it was a very weird thing where I looked and I said, oh, Ed, I know who that is. He said, who is that? I said, oh, it's not good. It's not a good thing. And he said, what, who is it? I said, Ed, I think that's my birth mother. And he said, what?
That's Adriana Alty, along with New Yorker staff writer Jill Lepore. Their story continues next week when Adriana starts hearing the rumors about her biological father. But it's not so easy to find a man named William Brown.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.